I'd like to call to order the Planning and Development Committee meeting Monday, October 4th, just a little bit after 11. The first item on, or the second item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the September 7th, 2021 meeting. Do I have a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Item number three is public comments. If you have a public comment, please come forward, state your name and address for the record, and you'll have 2 minutes. Does anyone have public comment?
Good morning. My name is Abigail Richardson. I'm with Seaman Whiteside & Associates, 501 Wando Park Boulevard. I just want to let you know, if y'all have any questions regarding the Oyster Park development, where I'm here and ownership is here to answer any questions that might come about during that portion.
Thank you. All right. Any other public comments? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item of the agenda. Item number four, old business, Oyster Park Impact Assessment and Plan Development Ordinance. I know that some of us have had a chance to meet with Abigail to discuss some of the changes, and we have some updates. So, Ms. Reed?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. So, as you mentioned, you heard some of the details about this last month, and it was deferred to get more information. So I'll just touch on a few basics and a few updates. Again, just a recap, this is two separate requests related to approximately 13 acres known as Oyster Park. The first is to rezone it from area-wide business to a planned development district ordinance. And second is approval and impact assessment and an associated conceptual plan. So here again, it is all zoned AB, recommended for commercial. I won't go into too much of the history. The proposed overall, what you're going to see is currently there's about 269 multifamily units that will remain. There is the by-low retail, approximately 144,000 square feet of retail. Proposed is to drop that down. The end result would be about 11,000 square foot retail less, add 60,000 square foot of office space. So what we have now is, as you can see in yellow, the by-low, it's a pretty wide building. What would happen is that would be demolished and you would have what's in pink, which would consist of the office space. There's been several ordinance changes over the years. When this was first approved, it was approved under the overlay district. It was all conforming. It was removed from the overlay, as you'll recall, a couple of years ago. And so right now, there's several aspects of this that's not conforming. They are requesting a PD ordinance to kind of address all of those things, make it conforming, and they're really asking for three deviations other than what already exists. In the PD ordinance, they're asking for a deviation from the buffer yards, the height, and then the parking. And so, Madam Chairman, as you mentioned earlier, there has been an update, so I'll just talk about the updates. When they first went to Planning Commission, they were proposing about a 10-foot, 8 to 10-foot buffer. What they're proposing now, based on Planning Commission recommendation, would be 20 feet, as you can see along there, and then about 8 to 10 feet in the other area. And the reason for that is the marine store is not going away. So that building there already exists. You already have that drive access there. And that's the reason for the smaller buffer yard. So they increased it to a 20-foot Type E buffer from a 10-foot, and then they changed the parking along there. So before you pulled into the parking, New Parish Village had concerns about headlights, those sorts of things. So what they did was reduce some of the parking, which they meet already, and they're going to do parallel parking along that area. The height. So here's what the heights are currently. On the left, we have 40-foot height, and then we have 55-foot height for the multifamily. 35-foot height is the current allowed height outside of the overlay. The current bylaw, which is proposed to go away, is about 43 feet in height. The applicants are proposing a 48-foot height for the structure that replaces the bylo. That's the second deviation. And then the third is just the parking. And they did a ULI study, which our staff reviewed. They are above and beyond what is required for their parking. And so we didn't have any additional comments regarding that. And so that's basically the update. I'm happy to answer any questions you can have.
Thank you. Committee members, do you have any questions?
Yes,
Mr. Chapman?
My first question is related to the 8-foot buffer, if you could go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
You said that the marine building already exists.
Yeah, so that building, my annotator works. This building right here,
yes,
is not proposed to be demolished. And this two-way drive aisle already exists. And so that's the reason for here to here is that elimination of the 20-foot to the 8-foot buffer.
So there already is a driveway there.
Yes, sir.
Behind the marine building, in which case they being the developer are not adding or subtracting from what exists there. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Second, on this issue of 20 feet mm-hmm. versus 25 required, am I correct? Is it 25 required?
Yeah, so what would currently be required is a 25-foot type E buffer. When they came in, they had actually proposed, it was closer to 8 to 10 feet, and the parking was
right.
set up differently.
That.
Folks from New Parish Village came to the Planning Commission meeting, spoke out. And the compromise that Planning Commission recommended approval with was increasing that from 8 foot to 20 feet, changing the parking, and then of course the requirement is the 8-foot wood stockade fence with masonry piers. But yeah. You're correct, Mr. Chapman. Typically it would be a 25-foot buffer.
And they're for a commercial establishment, mm-hmm. do we normally have a wooden fence or some type of a more, for lack of a better word, concrete fence, whether it's concrete or some other harder surface?
We require the wood stockade fence with, like I said, with masonry piers. That's the typical requirement.
Okay. And second, on the request for an additional 5 feet of height,
mm-hmm.
is there a significant purpose for that, or just that they'd like an extra 5 feet?
I'll let the applicant speak to that. I do know that the current bylaw, while it's 5 feet less, it's about 55 feet from that property line, and they're proposing, so this new building, while it would be 5 foot taller, it's going to be about 25 feet further from the residential property line. And so I think that was some of the justification for that, and then also the fact that we already have the 55 feet height, so it would be kind of a gradual step down. But I think Abigail can probably speak more accurately to why they...
And I believe they're not going to try to cram another floor into it. It would just be 3 floors, and it would be a 20-foot first floor, and then 14 feet for the next 2 floors, I believe. Was it so that they could have a higher ceiling for the first floor?
Okay, well, that helps understand why the request. Will we do anything on the impact study now, or will we do that separately?
I think that's separate.
We're going to do that separate.
If you don't mind, I thought we would take them separately.
I didn't want to ask questions if you're going to come to that. Those are my questions.
Okay. Do you have any other questions? All right. So the first step would be a motion making a recommendation to council one way or another about the rezoning from AB to PD. Do we have any such motions?
I move that we change the zoning from AB to PD.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. All right, the second part of old business A is the impact assessment and conceptual plan.
I don't have anything to add, but James Aton is here from the Transportation Department to speak to the traffic impacts and the fact that they were okay with everything.
Okay.
I don't know if James has anything to add, but we have nothing to add with the impact assessment. They were reducing the amount of retail, adding office, and so I think everything came out good with the traffic counts.
Okay. All right. Mr. Chapman, I know you had some questions.
Well, in the PD, which I guess we just voted on, is there anything we can do to restrict this office building from at some point in the future becoming condominiums, apartments, whatever?
I'll let David confirm that, but I would say yes, because it is a PD, you can attach conditions to it, whereas you couldn't with a straight rezoning. But yeah, my answer, hopefully with David confirming that you could attach that condition.
Okay. That's correct, sir. With a PD, there is that flexibility.
So we would, if we thought that we didn't think that was a good idea, then we would have to, as part of our motion, request that the restriction to not add any, or to exchange office for residential.
Well, I would think that there should be a restriction limiting them to the number of residences already present, because it's all one. I think they're rezoning it as a one big parcel, right? And so one portion of it is already apartment complexes.
Yeah, at this point in time, they're maxed out with the 269. Now, obviously, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in the future with ordinance changes and things like that. But right now, with the current multifamily units they have there, I don't think they could get anything else at this point.
But I think making it explicit probably is the right way to go, Mr. Chapman. I agree with you.
What you would need is, for our vote, a sentence that simply suggests that the existing number of residential units within this PD remain the same.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Coley, do you want to amend your
amendment? Yep. So I would like to amend that we change from AB to plan development, with an exception that the current numbers of residential units not exceed.
What's currently
269?
The future number not exceed the current number of 269.
Second, Emma.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. All right, and then on the impact assessment and conceptual plan, do we have any further questions from the committee on that? And I know, Mr. Aton, would you like to speak to whether, like, the traffic and, because I know that the parking number of parking spaces exceeds what is required, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. So as far as traffic volume is concerned, with the removal of the existing bi-low, that type of commercial compared to a general office actually reduces the number of trips. There's a slight net increase in AM peak hour trips, but a reduction in PM peak hour trips for that use.
Okay, great. All right, thank you.
I move we accept the impact assessment.
All right, do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Right, motion carries. All right, moving on to item number 5A, amending chapter 156 of the zoning code.
Okay, as you recall, you recently saw the Shim Creek zoning district come through. It did go for first reading to town council, and it'll be on for final reading next week. As was mentioned during those meetings, we needed some design guidelines to go along with those new zoning districts. And so that's what's before you now. And just as a recap, we've got three districts in the Shim Creek district. We have the working district, the hospitality, and then the natural. And really, these design guidelines were attached to your agenda. I won't pull them up here unless you request that I do. But really, what they are is just design standards that we already have in our commercial design review overlay. They already are guidelines that are the town council has approved and that DRB utilizes when they review things. There were a few things that we did look at as far as not allowing any flat roofs, things like that. But this will just apply to these 23 parcels. And again, it really kind of came out of the area management plan, which the recommendations were to maintain that low country vernacular, the marine village feel, and sort of just to make sure that whatever design guidelines we had in place maintained the look of what we have in Shim Creek. And so that's what's before you. These are just in different sections of the ordinance as opposed to the actual zoning districts. And I do have DRB staff here if you have specific questions, but otherwise we're happy to answer questions.
All right. Does the committee have any questions on this?
No, I don't.
All right. Do we have a motion to recommend this to full council?
I move we send this to full council.
Second.
We have a motion to send to full council with a recommendation to approve?
Yes, with a recommendation to approve.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item number B, stormwater management and water quality regulations.
Okay, Ms. DeVay Dandy is going to present this to you. She is with our EDS department, and she's been with the town for a few years, but was recently promoted to environmental manager. And so I'm going to turn it over to her.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what we have here is a request to amend Chapter 153, Stormwater Management and Water Quality Regulations. Currently, the town requires owners of properties that have a permitted stormwater system to have them inspected annually. Currently, as it's written in the ordinance, only licensed engineers can perform that service. The proposed text amendment would add certified BMP inspectors as professionals that can provide the service. As it says, this update will increase the pool of professionals available to property owners and also making it more affordable for them to be in compliance.
So my apologies, what does BMP stand for?
So in my more fleshed out presentation, I got to that. it stands for a best management practice. And so that's how we refer to your stormwater systems. Everything from your ponds to your manufactured treatment devices, swales, and so forth. That's kind of the ubiquitous term of best management practice and BMP to make life easier. Did that suffice for your question?
Yes. And okay. The comparison between a licensed engineer and a certified BMP, what is a certified, like a licensed engineer has a 4-year degree in mm-hmm. this particular area, a mm-hmm. certified BMP inspector, what sort of, this is coming from staff, and will this change in addition of the pool of professionals available? Will the quality of the inspections remain at our town standards?
Yes, I guess I'll go ahead and jump to that then. I have that in here. There we go. Okay, so this is a bit on the certification that we're referring to. It's that the Clemson Cooperative Extension offers a post-construction BMP inspector certification course. This course is very thorough. It involves a field inspections, going through with inspectors, as well as they are taught how to properly assess the functionality of these systems and how to properly report that to both your municipalities and the owner so that they can maintain the health of these systems. They're also taught what to look for in these systems to make sure that they're performing as desired. So it's a very extensive course, and it's for 2 years, and every 2 years you're reinstated by having to go through the whole course again. It's not like a blanket reinstatement. You have to go back through your field day, you have to go back through your training, and any updates to the field or increase in knowledge is given to people then. So you always, if you maintain your certification, you maintain a really great base knowledge of understanding how to inspect and take care of these systems.
All right, great. Thank you. Does anybody else on the committee have any questions on this?
Well, could you go back to the previous mm-hmm. slide?
No, the next one?
Hold on. under the summary.
Yes.
May I suggest that you change the term licensed engineer to licensed professional engineer? Because that's the way it is mentioned in state law. Not just licensed engineer, but licensed professional engineer.
In this presentation, I don't have the exact text of how we were going to put the amendment, and I abbreviated that. Michelle, do you happen to?
But what you're talking about is with the ordinance change. As it's worded in the ordinance, if we reference that, we'll just make sure it says professional engineer.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And so another point of this whole initiative is that it can be difficult for your property owners to find a licensed engineer who is also willing to take a job of inspecting a BMP, because typically they have larger fish on their plate to get to. And also the price can be prohibitive to your smaller businesses. Certified BMP inspectors are typically people who are already involved in your pond maintenance, property management, people that property owners are already working with. So this will be an additional service they can provide, typically much less expensive than your licensed engineer.
Great.
And so currently we have, let's see if I can, sorry y'all, I had to jump around now. There's 143 annual inspections that are already more than 1 year overdue. Wow. And we have more that are coming up. As a new project closes, it enters what we call its post-construction life, where we start to look for these inspections. And we need to do what we can to encourage getting these annual reports submitted so that we know the health of our systems in town and can address any issues as needed.
All right, thank you. Do we have a motion from council?
I'll move to approve with the exception that I gave earlier.
Okay, with the addition of the language professional engineer.
Correct.
All right, do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries on item B. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Item number 6 is update on comprehensive plan implementation.
Thank you, ma'am. There were a lot of slides here, so I'm not going to talk verbatim and go through all this. I was just kind of wanted to hit some highlights. We have got the comprehensive plan, which was adopted about a year ago. We have our recently adopted strategic plan. So a lot of these things are aligned, and it includes not just our department, but every department throughout the town, but we work closely with EDS, public services, and so I'm going to try to hit some of the highlights here. Housing types and open space, we have been working with Ms. Whitley, the Settlement Community Task Force. That's going well. We're wrapping that up, going to start getting some recommendations. But they are really feeding into a lot of the things that we're doing with the zoning code rewrite, which is underway, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. A lot of things that will come out of that are housing types. We'll be looking at overlays, sweet grass basket overlays, the joint highway county overlay, all of those different things. We've got our open space concepts and outreach discussion. We're going to be working on that. Special area plans. The Settlement Community Task Force, out of that will come probably our study for our cultural corridor plan. We've already undertaken, as you know, the Shim Creek Zoning District. You just heard about the design guidelines. We've started on the Boulevard Overlay District rewrite, and what we anticipate is, as we started going through the Boulevard Overlay District, it's probably going to be eliminated, and those things that are valuable that we want to keep are probably going to be absorbed into the Commercial Design Review Overlay Guidelines. So we continue to work on that, and that'll incorporate the hub and redevelopment centers and those things that were discussed in the comprehensive plan. Neighborhood plans will continue on through that with 2023. Let's see, modifying commercial development. Obviously, some of those things have taken place. We just advertised for the public hearing for Planning Commission to start working on the neighborhood commercial and the hotel definitions. And those are things that are kind of aligning with the comprehensive plan, but we fast-tracked, so we'll come back and obviously address the larger concepts. But it's certainly going to be impacted as we look at the Boulevard Overlay District, because you can't really look at the Boulevard Overlay District and eliminating that without looking at what your underlying zonings are. We are partnering with Housing for All, obviously the 501c3. Liz and I are both on their advisory committee, so we continue to work with them on housing options and the work that they're doing. They're doing really good work there. Expanding our historic districts. If you'll recall, there was an ordinance change recently that allowed not just Old Village Historic District, but allowed us to look at other districts that could be designated as historic. And so we're starting to look at that along with the Settlement Community Task Force. We anticipate, as you've heard a lot about, like with the Phillips Community County Overlay, that we will adopt some of those same zoning overlays that mirror what the county has so that we have mutual protection in both of our ordinances. And again, that'll go back to some of our neighborhood plans that we'll continue to work on. Short-term rental ordinance, as you know, that continues on. We've made some revisions to that. Jane recently got some new software that's going to help her administer that program better, which I know she's happy about. Let's see, we continue with our overlays. Again, Boulevard Overlay, Sweetgrass Basket Overlay, Highway 17 Overlay. We have so many overlays, and we think a lot of them are going to be combined and eliminated. So we've got, I know one of our overlays already is the Joint County Highway Town Overlay, and I know the county's already eliminated it. We still have it in our zoning ordinance, so we're going to continue to look at that. Historical Commission, they're doing a lot of work there. They have done the creation of the Wayne Magwood Fisherman's Memorial Statue Donation Program, as well as the naming of the Shim Creek Walkway for the Magwood family. Mount Pleasant Way, which Liz has been working on very closely with EDS. We got the first round of approvals for the Greenbelt application for two pilot projects focusing on historic African-American communities. So there'll be a project in Scanlonville and then a project in Six Mile Cultural Trail. And last but not least, we have Take Root Mount Pleasant, where we're starting to, you probably saw us out at the farmer's market all summer. It was mostly Liz and different staff folks took turns doing that, where we're trying to do more education and outreach. We've got our new livability program, and we have a new livability group, which includes folks from all different departments, where we're trying to address those things like green space and parks and open space and quality of life. We've made a lot of progress on that. We're going to start doing HOA education initiatives, which will be part of that Mount Pleasant Green. And then the Mount Pleasant Way master plan and the initial phases of construction there. And so we've got a lot going on with a lot of different departments, and we're really excited about it. And so I just kind of hit the highlights there, but I can certainly send you this entire document if y'all would like, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Chapman?
Oh, go ahead.
Ms. Hyatt?
I just was going to ask, when you say that we're working on the Boulevard Overlay, that doesn't include Chuck Dolly?
It does.
Oh, okay.
It's all of it.
I was going to say, it seems like that's two that could be put together, the way you said.
Yeah.
Joining. They would have similar issues.
And I want to follow up on that. I know, looks like we're about finished with the Shem Creek work. Mm-hmm. Where do we go next? Would we go to Boulevard and possibly Chuck Dolly Overlay as our next initiative? It would seem like it would follow suit, but I just want to make sure of that.
We've got several moving parts. So when we say Boulevard Overlay District, we include Chuck Dolly. I'm not sure how that got separated out, but the Boulevard Overlay District includes all three legs of it, Johnny Dodds, Coleman, and then Chuck Dolly. We have started on that. We're working on it internally and with our consultants. Meanwhile, we're working on the big code rewrite. We're starting to figure out there's different ways you can do a zoning code. We have our zoning code and we have our land development regulations. And so there was a lot of talk behind the scenes. Does it become one document? Do they stay separate? There's so much overlapping between land development and zoning, particularly when you talk about trees and buffers and all of your environmental stuff. And so what we're working on now is organizing and formatting the new code Once we get that down, we'll probably bring it to this committee for kind of a blessing on how that's going to look. Meanwhile, we are working on the Boulevard Overlay District rewrite. And so it's such a huge undertaking that we've kind of obviously prioritized Shem Creek Boulevard Overlay. But that's going to, the Boulevard Overlay rewrite is feeding right into our commercial districts, the hubs and redevelopment centers. So it all just is kind of flow. But we've got several pieces moving at once here. But the next probably document you will see is going to be related to the Boulevard Overlay, and then hopefully the format of our overall code rewrite.
Well, there's a follow-up. I'm just trying to proceed mm-hmm. in an orderly fashion, mm-hmm. but there was a lot of initiative to eliminate some of the boulevard overlays, and as a result, it would just appear that moving directly from Shem Creek, the Coleman Boulevard Overlay District, and Chuck Dolly would probably be next.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm just trying to get an idea. It sounds like you're doing what I'm going to suggest anyway. Mm-hmm. You've only got so many people in the planning department, mm-hmm. and I understand that. You can't do everything at once. But I think there's some interest in moving in the direction of Coleman, Chuck Dolly mm-hmm. as the next initiative since we finished Shem Creek.
Yes, sir.
And it sounds like that's what your plan is. But does that mean we might see something next month? We might see something December?
I'd say in the next couple months, you're going to see something, yes.
Okay. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Hyatt? We're working on the overlay, but then we're talking about eliminating it. So when we're rewriting all this, how does that all come together? Because we don't want to spend time on something that we're eliminating, but I guess it'll just become the new thing and not really be called an overlay anymore. It'll just all have new outlined zoning, I assume.
Yeah, when I say we're working on the overlay, it probably means it's going to go away.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to consider. When you remove the overlay, you still have the underlying zoning, which we have to address. We also have those things in the overlay that we like. We like the activity zones and those sorts of things. So the process we're going through right now internally is and I don't know if you've ever looked at the Boulevard Overlay Ordinance, but it's really thick and really confusing. We're literally going line by line, section by section. Do we keep it? Yes. Does it go away? If we keep it, do we want to change it? If we want to keep it, does it need to be in its own section, or can it go in the design review guidelines? And so that's the process we're doing right now. So we all kind of go through that process, and then we compare our notes, and then we share that with the consultant, and we say, okay, here's what we've come up with. Here's what we like. Here's what we don't like. Here's what we know we need to keep. Here's what we know needs to go away. And what we anticipate, and I don't want to say for sure because we're still in the beginning stages of it. I anticipate either the overlay district will completely be eliminated, or it's going to be hopefully a page or two with just some very specific design guidelines, specific to Coleman Boulevard or specific to Chuck Dolly or whichever one it is. But I think much of it is going to go away. So when we say we're working on it, that's kind of what I mean.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Do we have any further questions from the committee?
A quick question. So,
yes, ma'am.
Michelle, how often do you feel like we could get updates on that, just because mm-hmm. just how that process is going, even if it's just a quick...
Absolutely. I can give you monthly updates. And I'd like to do that, too, with the comprehensive plan, just kind of keep you all up to date on what we're working on.
Yeah, that was awesome, because we really, since mm-hmm. it passed, you know, we really hadn't, mm-hmm. I don't think... you know, seeing how far you've gotten, but
yes,
I think it'd be good to.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, the the comprehensive plan is just a guide at this point in time, and it needs to be implemented through an overhaul of the zoning code. So I think that it's a bite. You have to take little bites of it as we move along, and I think that we're making good progress with the Shem Creek. And now I agree with Mr. Chapman moving on to the Boulevard overlay, which we're going to talk about a little bit later down the agenda, is probably what should be next.
It sounds like our whole committee thinks that.
So I think that makes sense. All right. Anything further on the and then I think Ms. Corley's recommendation, just like a brief update, kind of like in Rec Committee, we get a programs and projects update. We can just get a comprehensive plan update. And I noticed as we were going through here, there was a lot of 2021 updates on the Settlement Communities Task Force having key components of that. So, and I was at the last meeting, and they Liz has put together like an initial document of recommendations, and so they will be. I think that report will be coming soon to to committee or council. So that's great. All right, item number 7: discussion update on paid parking and parking requirements. All right, do we have?
Yeah. Well, I think Mr. Pagliarini might have a few words.
Yes, because I've heard from citizens and folks that this paid parking thing is starting to spread through and beyond Shem Creek, where people are charging, you know, $20 to park, and the question remains of, you know, is that truly providing parking?
Right. Yes. Good morning. We have reviewed this issue, and over the course of the years, we have had several questions about it. And I think when we talk about paid parking, just to be specific, it would be a restriction or potential restrictions on paid parking on parking that is required only. Of course, I don't believe there'd be any legal basis to restrict paid parking as a general matter. I guess a few questions to consider, and our recommendation certainly would be that any restriction is town-wide and not restricted to any areas. I do realize that there is a primary concern in Shem Creek and around that area, mainly because of the businesses and the situation, difficult situation that has been there for years with the parking. But again, we'd recommend it town-wide. How we restrict it is, if that is what this committee and ultimately council wishes, is what we're working through. Obviously, as part of any review, we look to see other areas around the country, first the state and the country. I will tell you that in limited circumstances, from a legal standpoint, we have seen challenges to these, mainly on a partial takings basis. Our initial review is that we do not believe that would be a legal concern, but just to be aware, that is what we are finding, and that would be if there was a challenge, it would be on that basis. So again, restriction would be town-wide, and it would be limited only to required parking. So I'm happy to field any questions after that general overview.
Do we have any questions from the committee, Ms. Corley?
Would this be moving forward, or you're talking about retroactive?
That's the one point I forgot. Okay. It would absolutely, we would recommend it moving forward and not be retrospective, be prospective in nature. So concerns, and I realize that from a legal standpoint, it's very different than the questions you see every day. It would be very difficult, we believe, to go backwards and to change that for those who are already operating in that capacity.
Oh, interesting. Oh, Ms. Hyatt? you
had a... It seems like such a new thing that we wouldn't be going back very far at all, but it's complicated to me because when they charge, they're not limiting it to their customers. It's open to the general public, so they're not providing parking for their
and
patrons.
I'm not giving you a complete answer now, but we do have some thoughts on restrictions to that. So it would be a little more subtle than what I'm saying as far as some complete ban or completely restrictive measure. I do believe we can regulate that, though. And specifically to mean that it be reasonable, that I think that there be provisions in there. And one of the questions we're working through is if, for example, many of the businesses have a situation where others, third parties, are using their parking. And so the question would be, can we restrict that? If there's some way that they can prove it's a customer, then they would not be able to, or not charge for that service, and be able to maintain charging if it were for non-customers. So there is that very, very subtle question out there and difficult that we have thought about. I'm not sure how we're going to deal with that, but I just bring that to your attention.
So our existing ordinance says they have to provide parking, but it doesn't say they have to provide free parking.
Yes, ma'am.
So
that's correct.
Is that, that's something that we need to...
Right. I think overall, as
look
I'm saying,
the ordinance,
the issue is, the question is, we can't do that. The question is, can we do it? We can certainly do it prospectively. The question is whether it can be retroactive, fully retroactive, meaning if we have approved a shared parking agreement, which is very common in areas like Shem Creek, and some of that is in a paid situation, it's, you know, we're going to have to create some sort of basis to hopefully try to force as much of that free as possible. But we're dealing with several different circumstances. And again, not to, I don't wish to pick on anyone or anything, but the concern, at least right now, is on the, I'm getting my south and north mixed up, but the, I guess it's more the east side of Shem Creek, where there are signs now, and you can, so for example, you can go in there and some of the businesses will validate your parking if you request it. But one of the concerns in that area specifically is that it goes back so far that we're having a difficult time locating any approved parking scheme on record. So there's an area, for example, we're going to have to go back into and hopefully determine how many spaces, who's using what. There are so many businesses along that side of the creek, and there's that general parking lot. We have to do a complete assessment as to whether parking standards are being met in the first place on that side. And again, I use that as an example because I think it's the most glaring example.
You've also got it on the west side.
Yes, sir.
And the question I have is timing. So if we cannot make it retroactive, it's just prospective, then I would think that the timing on this, we would need to implement it sooner rather than later to prevent the domino effect of all this parking being converted to paid parking. Ms. Hayes, would you tend to agree with that? And I understand also if you need more, if you need time to draft something. Mm-hmm. So I guess where are we?
Well, where are we is we've done that research, and what we would want from the committee is, I mean, first of all, we would like to, should we draft such an ordinance? I mean, that first basic step, I'm hearing that's a yes, potentially. And what, if any, restrictions, what would you like to see happen? If it's as simple as restricting paid parking moving forward and developing a set of regulations to alleviate concerns for the retrospective situation, then that's what we're preparing to do. And if that's what you like done, we'll move forward and bring a draft to you as soon as possible.
Right. Ms. Hyatt?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
To move forward.
Okay. Well, so we have a motion from Mr. Chapman. Do we have a second? And then we can discuss.
Second.
We have a second? All right. Discussion. Ms. Hyatt?
Okay. Are we really being retroactive if we can really take a look at the fact that by doing this, they are not providing parking for their...
Yes, ma'am. And that's what I'm
saying. So it's, I have more of a problem with that the spaces aren't reserved for their patrons than the fact that they're charging.
Right. So I think that's when I say it's a subtle, we have to look at a situation, and we're looking at different angles as far as, first of all, the basic and fundamental element is that they have parking for, they have appropriate parking. If they don't, whether it's paid or not, then that's a violation. They're in violation of our zoning code. You know, that is true. So while I don't know that a blanket no paid parking retrospectively would be appropriate. As I mentioned earlier, I do believe there are ways that it can be regulated to ensure that there is appropriate parking. And Mr. Chapman, you mentioned on the other side of Shem Creek, and that's kind of an example that is more recent. Just a few years ago, there was a shared parking agreement that was approved. And in that scenario, that very question was raised. Can a portion of it be paid? And at that time, as is now, our ordinances do not prevent that from happening. So we do have situations where we do have approved parking that the town has approved. They're meeting the requirements. And you can see if we retrospectively blanket, it can't happen, we are making our businesses non-compliant.
So if we were to move forward with this, timing-wise, is this something that is even on the table for Tuesday, or is this something that you would want to bring back a draft to this committee next month?
If the timing is a concern, I will tell you it is very difficult. That this is requires a fair amount of input from a lot of people, as it is. What I'd recommend to you, if the timing is of a concern, we would have it next month. And of course, given the situation, if we are aware that there are problems, immediate problems, then as you know, there are legal measures we can take to at first reading, essentially halting approval of any further applications.
Okay, so pending ordinance.
Yes, ma'am. There.
Okay.
Right.
Ms. Hyatt?
So, legally, anybody can charge for parking on their property in this town? I mean, like, I could rent my front yard out and give people a ride to the beach.
Well,
I mean,
do I
need a business
zoning
license to lease out my front yard? I mean, what's the legality of making money off of renting your property?
Well, first of all, it has to meet our general zoning requirements, right? If you're not zoned for a paid
parking lot.
But you're right. Then there comes another layer of regulatory. Is there a business license? All of those type things. But
yeah, like Publix could say, we're going to charge you $1 an hour for parking.
Right.
Right. Walmart or what?
Walmart. I mean, right. I think Walmart, people use their thing as a park and ride
and
for camping.
Camping.
Yeah.
I mean, where does this go, you know?
Well, right. And I think historically, and what most municipalities and would consider is that is probably something that a business would not find attractive for their customers. So that is a self-policing matter. I think the areas where we see it, and again, we can look at Shem Creek as the prime example. I haven't surveyed those businesses, but I presume that their larger concern is making sure they do have parking for their clients rather than people who are just using those spaces for whatever purpose they wish. So I'm not really sure that we have any scenario, I don't know, maybe there's one, but where it's a money-making proposition. It's actually to protect their businesses and their base. So,
is that?
Well, I don't know. I don't see that it's protecting the space for their clients when they aren't restricting it only to them. So, I mean, how did they do it in the past? They would just have signs, parking for
right,
blah, 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 only. Mm-hmm. And now what's happened is that's taken away, and it just says
right,
pay to park.
Right.
So it no longer is restricted to only their clients. So if I'm kayaking, I can park at Water's Edge
right,
and go kayaking, and I'm out $20, and I don't mind. But I've taken up Water's Edge as restaurant parking. So that's the bottom line to me, is it still needs to be restricted, even if they're charging to only their patrons.
Laura?
Unless they have a shared parking agreement.
Right.
Okay. And Ms. Corley?
Would it be that, as David said, it was just the business got to the point where they just couldn't validate. It was so hard to enforce. Maybe they went to a validation sort of. I could see how a business would do that, right? Hey, I can't monitor and police who's parking here, so I'm just going to charge everybody. And then if you use my business, come in and tell me you used it, I'll validate you. And maybe at some point they were like, no, we'll just make the $20. I'm thinking that's how it happened, right?
My own scientific study.
Right.
knows that my wife made me go to Vickery's and we spent $100, so.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but, I mean, that's completely the scenario,
right,
that they've just surrendered, but it's not providing parking for their patrons if you're letting anybody park there.
But if they're validating, if that's you come in,
yeah,
if it's a lot for the business to have to go mm-hmm. through that process, but it seems like an easy fix. Can we add that to it? No, I guess we couldn't. So for Tuesday, we are going to try to come up with something or no? Next committee.
Okay. We do. My.
Never mind.
First of all, we are happy to provide whatever date you like. My recommendation to you would be that we bring back something to this committee so that we can, you can look at it on paper and further hone it before it goes to council. But we are happy to do it either way you wish. I do have concern as to what might appear before council would be not only confusing, but perhaps not what you may expect. And
Okay. So I think then, well, we have a motion on the table and a second to move forward with this. Howard, is your motion to bring this back to us next month?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Yeah. Let me just say, as someone who was involved in preparing, designing, and implementing paid parking downtown for 10 parking garages, several surface lots, it was all general. It had nothing to do with individual businesses, except that as they were built, some businesses included their property in the agreement. So I understand what Mr. Pagliarini is saying, and also the fact that there is, as we get larger over, I don't know what the current population for 2020 is, I say over 94,000. This is something that's going to happen in Mount Pleasant. Mm-hmm. But we need to look at the requirement that businesses have available parking for their business as it is shown in our zoning ordinance.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. Thank you so much. All right. Have we voted on the motion? We have not. No. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. All right, moving on to number 8 on the agenda, discussion of possible action to remove residential uses in the Boulevard and Chuck Dolly Overlay District. Where that was something that Mr. Rambo asked to be placed on the agenda, and Ms. Reed?
Yes, ma'am. So this item, along with number 9, the next agenda item, will probably seem a little bit redundant after the comp plan update, but we can drill down a little bit more on these items. So just a quick look at the map here. This is everything outlined in red is the Boulevard Overlay District. Everything in like the orange color is zoned commercial underlying in the overlay district. And then everything in green within the Boulevard Overlay District is zoned for residential uses. So that gives you an idea of what the underlying zonings are. In 2018, we did have an ordinance amendment that eliminated single-family residential uses on properties in the overlay with underlying commercial zoning. As you can see, there's probably more than 400, I think there's close to 600 properties in the overlay that have an underlying residential zoning district. And so I remember in 2018 when we looked at removing the single family from commercial, there was a lot of discussion of, do we remove it from underlying residential? And the decision was made at that time that they did not want to remove residential, single family residential from an underlying residential zoning, taking away the basic underlying zoning permitted use. So that 2018 amendment only applied to underlying commercial. Currently, we also had that recent zoning code amendment that lowered the density. So before in the Boulevard Overlay District, you could do 16 units an acre and 20 units an acre if it was mixed use. A couple of months ago, in an effort to try to fast track and lower the densities while we worked on the code rewrite, if you'll recall, we lowered that to 12 units an acre, which was consistent with what was allowed for multifamily as a conditional use. Again, if the BOD goes away tomorrow, and as it's recommended for the comprehensive plan, those residential properties that have that underlying residential zoning, they'll retain those densities. And so typically your low density is 3 units an acre, medium density is 6 units an acre, and then high density is 9 units an acre, and that's kind of what we have at this point. Again, the comp plan recommends removing the BOD in favor of focusing on those redevelopment centers, which allow 1 unit per acre. And we are currently, as I mentioned earlier, working internally and with our consultants on the code rewrite, which will incorporate those redevelopment centers and that 1 unit per acre. And so that's kind of all I have now. I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Committee, are there any questions?
Go ahead.
Ms. Hyatt?
Well, I know with the overlay, it goes along with the underlying, like if it's business under, then it can be business based on the overlay rules, right? And so that's the same with residential.
Correct. So if your underlying residential is R1, single family, mm-hmm. and you're in the Boulevard Overlay District, you can do townhouses, duplexes, multifamily, limited, obviously, to the development standards and the density. But yeah, that's correct.
And we have lowered it to how many units for it? 16?
12? No, in the overlay currently, you can do a maximum of 12 units an acre.
Okay.
Once the overlay goes away, they'll be bound by the underlying zoning and that density. So like I said, it'll be somewhere between 3 and 9, given what we have now, not looking at our code rewrite.
But the properties, if we removed residential from the overlay district, all those properties, just to clarify, the properties that with underlying residential zoning maintain their densities and maintain what is, like for their residential, like if they're R1, R2, or R3, they retain that, even if we remove residential from the overlay. Is that correct?
I'm not sure I understand the question. So if you remove residential zoning from the overlay, or you remove...
Right. So if these properties, these green properties, mm-hmm. they retain their underlying zoning.
Correct.
So no matter what we do to the Boulevard Overlay District, they would still retain that underlying zoning and would be able to build within that zoning.
Right. So let's say tomorrow the overlay goes away. Those green properties that are zoned residential, and they're everywhere from R1, R2, multifamily. Some of them, I think, are PD. So once the overlay goes away, that 12 units per acre goes away. And what you're left with is, if it's R1, it's 3 units an acre. If it's R2, it's 6 units an acre, typically. And then high density would be 9 units an acre.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the... what is the timing on, I know we're going to have something in the next month or two. When do you think something will be ready for council to vote on regarding this? And I guess the question is to you and to Mr. DeMora, is this something urgent enough that we need to take action now as another sort of quick fix along the way?
I'll just say we're not getting a lot of residential development requests in the overlay. We're just not. We're not getting a lot of residential development, period. We've got Liberty Hill finishing up. We've got Carolina Park finishing up. I think on our next DRT agenda, we have, for residential development, we have Watts Park, which was off 6 Mile. So, we can do whatever you ask, but just from a staff perspective, we're not seeing any requests for development in the overlay for residential. I guess also we also have the multifamily moratorium in place, and then we have the building permit allocation in place. And that allocation system, we're out of multifamily units for another 3 years. So that's probably part of the reason we're not seeing anything, but we're just not getting a lot of requests for that.
So as I think as another council member has put it, sometimes we have sort of a belt and suspenders approach right now when it comes to these multifamily housing. With the moratorium and the permit allocation, there really is no opportunity for multifamily to be built at this point in time.
Unless it's affordable housing.
Unless it's affordable housing, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so Mr. Chapman, did you have something?
Madam Chairman, it seems like, based on what we've already heard, we're going to be hitting this Boulevard Overlay District issue real hard within the next month or two.
Yes.
Which, with the moratorium in place and with some of the other restrictions, I think it's answering number 8 pretty significantly.
Mm-hmm.
without having another item to vote on.
Does anyone, so speaking on item number 8, would anyone like to make a recommendation or have possible action, or do we feel, is there any further discussion? Or are we ready to move on to item 9?
I'm ready to move on to item 9.
Okay. All right. Item number 8 is done. Item number 9, discussion and possible action regarding accommodation zones.
Okay, so the comp plan doesn't specifically mention an accommodation zone or district. What it does is talk about the different categories and then where different uses are appropriate, hotels, boutique hotels. And so what we'll do as we move forward with the code rewrite is that's what we'll use to guide us is in the comp plan. It says, first of all, community scale commercial. It says this is where boutique hotels are appropriate. Town scale commercial, the recommendation there is that that's the most appropriate place for larger hotels. We have redevelopment centers, and then we have our waterfront district. And so those are the four areas where we can gather that the accommodation zones, whatever they're called, would be appropriate or in those four areas. And then this is just a map from the future land use showing those different areas. So the green is town scale, blue waterfront, and then the red is community scale commercial. So you can kind of extrapolate from that if we had accommodation zones as we move forward with our code rewrite, they're going to be concentrated in those larger community scale areas and the waterfront gateway area. And I'm happy to answer questions or anything you may have.
Ms. Hyatt, were you going to say?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh.
I think while we're on the subject of hotels, this is why I thought it would be a good time to talk about going ahead and establishing the accommodation zones, since they were sort of touched on in the comp plan. So I was hoping that we could move that council direct planning commission to establish like special area plans that allow accommodations within the appropriate major gateways that are recommended. So I'd like to move to do that. If we could just send this to the planning commission.
Did I
to go ahead and get started on it?
Is that what that is or not?
This shows future land use ideas for the comp plan. I just thought it was something we could send to Planning Commission.
So Planning Commission could look at where hotels are permitted in these different scales and make a recommendation.
For like special area plan for accommodations zones.
Specifically for hotel zones. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Do we have a second to the motion?
I think, again, we've got something on the books that addresses that, and so I again, we've got a lot going on in planning. Unless we want to add some more people, I just think we've already got it with what we're seeing in this picture.
Paul?
Yeah, and we're happy to do whatever y'all ask. I feel like this is going to get answered as we continue on with the Boulevard Overlay District exercise we're doing right now, which is going to feed right into the hubs, the redevelopment centers, and all of this. So we can look at fast tracking it, but we are already working on it. So I guess I'm trying to understand what exactly we would take to Planning Commission.
That we establish like a special area plan for accommodation zones based on the discussions that came up in the comp plan. Because right now, hotels can go anywhere that are zoned AB.
Correct.
And that's anywhere in town that zoned AB.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about having, in comp plan discussions, having accommodation zones in obvious places in the gateways to town, like Patriots Point, Ravenel Bridge, 526, and 17, and then further up 17. And this would be for, like, I'm sure they would recommend for, like, large hotels, because we talk about neighborhood commercial allowing boutique hotels. So mm-hmm. this would be a discussion on large, like, hotel accommodation zones, so they don't come up all over town wherever there's AB. So it would be on Mathis Ferry Road or anywhere.
I hear you, but I just don't think we're ready yet.
Okay. No. Right, do we have any other second? I'll second the motion for the purposes of discussion. I see Ms. Hyatt's point about the AB zoning permitting hotels kind of anywhere, and then the comp plan kind of pushing us towards having them in these certain zones.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is how is that something that Planning Commission can take a look at, of how best to achieve that? Is that something, is like removing hotels from AB underlying zoning and then adding it to special area plans for specific accommodation zones? Is that, you know, I think that maybe that's something that Ms. Hyatt is wanting Planning Commission to explore. And that could be done in conjunction with moving forward on the boulevard. Just, I guess, do we need a motion, or is this enough guidance to the planning department to incorporate, to understand that hotels and their locations are very important to this committee?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. The wheels are spinning. I'm trying to think of the best way, because as Mr. Chapman said, we're working on all this. What it sounds like to me is more of a quick fix while we get everything in place. And I'm not sure. I think we might need a conversation with legal, maybe if that's the direction, because a special area plan in these accommodation zones, that's going to take a lot of planning and work. But I think we have direction in what your desire is. And what we'll do is we'll talk internally, and then we'll talk with legal and put it on for discussion at Planning Commission on the best way to address it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sounds mm-hmm. good. So do we want to go ahead and vote on the motion? Because that's basically just what we're recommending. All right. So all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion.
The motion is to pass it on to Planning Commission.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
All right. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Item number 10 on the agenda is discussion regarding purchase of land at Faison Road. We also have an executive session regarding the purchase of land at Faison Road. I don't know that we want to have any at this point in time. Do we have anything public to discuss about it, or do we have a motion to go into executive session?
Ma'am, do you have any general questions? Just for the committee's recollection and refreshment of that, we are currently under contract, and the matter will, as I understand it, be on the council agenda as well. But any specific questions you have about the contract would be better served in executive session.
All right. Do we have... Ms. Hyatt, I know you asked for this item to be on the agenda. Do you have specific questions that are contract related, or do you have like legal questions that we need in executive session, or do you have just general questions regarding the purchase of land that we can discuss openly?
I'm interested in having a discussion maybe about how we'll ultimately manage the property. I don't know if that's something we'll talk about openly, or the future development of it, how we would manage it, that sort of thing.
I'm not prepared to talk about that openly.
Certainly, yeah, that's what I thought.
That would. We can talk about an executive session if you think.
Right. Do we have a motion to go into executive session?
I move we go into executive session.
Second. Any discussion? And note the committee may take action on any item, including any subsection of any section listed on an executive session agenda or discussed in executive session during a properly noticed meeting.
Let me amend my motion to receive legal advice as it relates to the operation of the land if we choose to purchase it.
Okay. Yeah. And you amend your second?
Second.
Okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. We are now in executive session.
In courtroom B.
Executive session. No votes were taken. I do not believe there's anything to come out of that executive session as far as a motion, but if I'm incorrect, please. Okay. All right. Is there anything else to come before us that we
need to adjourn?
All right. We are adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.